Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Live from Sports Column in Lodo, presented by Coors Light, it's the Fan Football Pregame. Here's Mike Evans and D-Mac.
All right, here we are live at Sports Column. Good Sunday morning. Beautiful day here in the Rocky Mountain region, downtown Denver. Reminds me of how gorgeous our city is. And then I take a peek at some of the videos from Baltimore, and it's rainy and drippy and, Baltimore, kind of that type of place. So under the cloud of cover with the rain and all that sort of stuff, the Inner Harbor, Mike Evans, the Broncos go on the road for the first time. So maybe we should address that first. What do you expect the weather to, what kind of impact do you expect the weather to have as we're expecting, I believe, on and off rains and kind of crappy weather throughout the course of the day there in Baltimore?
Boy, this is shaping up as a black and blue game, isn't it? It's a Baltimore team coming off a loss with 10 days to prepare, especially when they're at home. They love to try to impose their will. They love to beat you up. They want to smack you around. I'm actually really fascinated. I'm really curious to see how the Broncos handle this situation. First time out on the road, the dreaded East Coast game, 11 a.m. start. Playing against a team that does want to play physical, wants to punch you in the mouth, and in conditions that might really play to the idea of having to play physical. Hey, we all remember what John Elway said about this team a year ago. Said they were a soft team, and they've been a soft, finesse team for several years now. And so I'm curious to see, in a game that figures to be a macho-type battle, how they come out and look.
I think the news of the week was interesting, where VJ was basically calling out Joe Woods.
Yep.
And you tried to take it like, oh, it's on me. It's not on you. We understand what's going on here. Excuse me. He wasn't happy.
Get this man a shot of whiskey.
Yes, please. Mike, what was that all about? What was the calling out of Joe Woods?
Well, the calling out was, and I'll give you credit, because you, was it before the first game, you said that, you know, Joe Woods has got to be a lot better than he was last year.
Let me be more clear. I've said Joe Woods is terrible.
Okay.
I don't believe him as a defensive coordinator. I can't believe he survived. I think one of the biggest mistakes that has happened, and there's been a lot in the past couple years, was allowing Wade Phillips to get away. I mean, what was that all about? Why didn't Wade Phillips deserve to be the highest paid?
Well, John didn't want to pay him.
Why? Why? And for what reason? And what are you getting out of the Vance Joseph, Joe Woods combination that trumps
Was Wade getting too much credit?
You think this is an ego thing?
Of course it's an ego thing. Because,
all right.
Because it's,
well, you may be right, because I don't know what else it could possibly be.
Because what it is you're looking at a guy like Wade Phillips, and you're like, well, wait a minute. We've got all this talent that I assembled. A lot of people can coach it.
Yeah. Kind of a big deal.
And a lot of people can coach it for a lot cheaper than what we'd be paying Wade Phillips. Plus, there's always that organizational pride that goes with the idea of, look at how well we promote from within. Look at how well we develop our guys, and then they're ready to step up and take on the next responsibility. So absolutely, I think personal pride, ego pride, organizational ego, all played a role in that.
All right. Well,
to the Broncos' detriment. But I don't want to make this all about, because it was clear that Vance Joseph wasn't happy with Joe Woods. You know, why weren't the corners coming up? Why weren't they pressing?
Right.
But be careful, because if we make it all about Joe Woods, then you're laying the players off the hook. And you're overlooking the fact that Bradley Roby is not Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
Tremaine Brock and Pac-Man Jones is not Bradley Roby in that third spot.
Yeah.
And the safeties are not the safeties.
I can see the groundwork being laid, because just as Mike McCoy was used as a scapegoat last year, so apparently too is Joe Woods.
Oh,
already.
Coaches will always be scapegoated first, of course.
Now Gary Kubiak. Not with Koops.
Yeah, he fell on the sword.
Koops went down with the ship.
Yeah.
You know, he
oh, but
he
it was his health,
like
D-Mac. It was his health.
Oh, right.
It was
sorry.
His health. It was, come on.
See, that's why I love you, Mike.
Come on.
You're nice and cynical, just
come
like
on.
Me.
Remember the talking points. Come on. It was for his health.
My most fun moment of the week was listening to Mike Evans admit his pettiness and wanting the quarterbacks to
I
fail
miserably.
I knew
you were going to bring that up right away. So I'm prepared for that. I am prepared for that. Yes, when you have a debate that raged across Broncos country, like the quarterback debate that we did, whatever side you're on, it's human nature. You want to be right.
Fighting for your side.
And so just like you are going to take whatever good Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, fill in the blank quarterback,
right,
you're going to blow it out of proportion.
Do you realize, though?
Just like I may admit to, you know, wanting to see these guys not look so good.
Well, we're about to see, as long as Arizona makes the most obvious decision in the world and moves on from Sam Bradford. By the way, have they officially announced what they're doing yet or not in Arizona? Do you know?
It's still Bradford, but my man Stank's working that game today, and I'm going to text him and say,
okay,
just for our.
But it was Bradford going into today. Well, okay. I mean, I can't believe after what they did last week, and the Broncos will see the Cardinals not too long from now. Bye week three, we could, well, if he's not starting, he's not starting, I suppose. But if he's playing at least, you could see the big four quarterbacks having a starting position, Mike, 3 weeks into the season. And what Baker Mayfield pulled off was awesome.
It was fantastic. It was great theater. It was great entertainment.
Stuff of legends.
Yeah.
So buyer's remorse. Is that for me? Look at you. Thank you so much. No coffee for Mike.
I didn't want coffee.
Oh, good for you. Thank you, Sports Column. Love it here, by the way.
Good. I can't wait for them to open the kitchen. The menu here is so good.
I
love the
is it not open
here.
Yet?
It'll be soon.
I mean, we're both here.
what are we waiting for?
We're here. Anyways, we'll see with the quarterbacks, but I think all four will be starting by week four. You know, I can't imagine, even if Rosen doesn't start today, that he doesn't play at some point.
Which
if
it
they
should
still
be.
Struggle.
It should be. My argument against not playing Paxton Lynch right away was you were coming off a Super Bowl.
Did you hear Baker Mayfield say why he thought that it was easier for guys to play earlier? It's interesting. What he said, what Baker Mayfield said, it was after the game on NFL Network, was it's not as physical anymore because of the rule changes. Things are kind of a little bit more spread out, and it's just more conducive to guys like him, which means it would be more conducive to, well, all future college quarterbacks to come into the league. So you don't have the same gestation period as you once did, because back in the day, I remember when I first started covering the NFL years and years and years ago in Buffalo, the concept of a rookie playing with Marv Levy was, like, absurd. Like, rookies, Mike, did not play at all.
Especially quarterbacks.
I mean, you would have two, or in Aaron Rodgers' case, 3 years. That's, like, what was expected. You didn't expect to see these guys.
It was a 3 to 5 year plan for rookie quarterbacks.
It was, and that has all changed, right? Because it's just like, well, what are we doing? We got it. And part of it, too, I read a deeper article about this in Sports Illustrated. The nature of the CBA has changed things as well, because practice has changed so dramatically from it what it was, so that the only opportunity for these guys to actually get reps that matter is to actually play in games. Now, listen, so you see more rookies play, and certainly the Broncos rookie class has been a big deal, but there is a rookie the Broncos may have to contend with today, and that's Lamar Jackson. Now, this is interesting, right? This is different than all the other scenarios. Mike, what do you expect to see out of Lamar Jackson with the Ravens today?
I still think it's going to be gradual with him, because you're trying to work him in. Are you talking about him as a quarterback?
No.
Just as a slash role.
Well, I mean, he played 30-something snaps in the first game, not quite as much in their second game. You got a wet kind of crazy game today.
You got to prepare. You know that Harbaugh's got they didn't draft this guy with the idea. They drafted this guy with the idea he was going to be their quarterback someday. But in the meantime, why not use him in that Cordell Stewart
role?
I would have a I would have a package set up for him. And if I'm the Broncos, I would have to prepare for every time he's on the field the possibility of wildcat, of passes, end-arounds, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I'm just saying it's one of the more unique situations the Broncos may have to face all season. I can't think of another team that kind of is equipped in dealing with things the way the Ravens quite are.
Though I'm curious to see, because you're taking sort of, aren't you sort of taking a round peg, square hole type thing with a guy like Lamar Jackson and mixing it with Harbaugh in Baltimore? Baltimore's never really been known to be, say for the year they had Gary Kubiak as the offensive coordinator, and
right.
and Flacco had a career year, but they don't strike me as the kind of innovative, think outside the box offensive mindset under Harbaugh. So I wonder just how much they're going to take the wraps off a guy like Lamar Jackson.
All right, we're just getting going here. We got a couple hours to mix it up. Kickoff at the dreaded 11 o'clock kickoff time for the Broncos. Lord almighty, are we afraid of the 11 o'clock kickoff? I've heard so much more.
It's real.
Is it real? It
actually, I'll give you a great stat.
Okay.
All right.
All right. We'll hear also from Mark Schlereth. We have reports of rain in Baltimore, and Adam Jones has been warming up. According to Troy Rank's keen eye, he looks good. I don't know if that really matters, but we'll take a break and come back with more live from Sports Column, where you can register to win $200 for Uber. Fantastic. Also, a free shuttle to Mile High.
Why would you need Uber leaving Lodo?
I have no idea. When I look at what's when I look in front of me, I have no idea. Sports Column.
Why would you need Uber or Lodo?
That's crazy. A free shuttle to Mile High starts 2 hours prior to every game. And Sports Column, we love Sports Column, man. It's a great spot for all the Broncos and the Iowa Hawkeyes. How they doing? This is Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. All right, you reached out to Pink. I don't think you
did. I did. I got a response right away.
Oh, okay. What did
likelihood you say? That Sam Rosen plays today.
Sam Rosen.
That's the announcer. Josh Rosen. Sam Rosen.
Okay.
Isn't he like a longtime NFL announcer? He says 50-50. They don't want him to play, but if Sam Bradford poops in his hat, he'll come in the second half.
Is that a direct quote from Mark Schlereth?
Their GM is ready to make the move.
So maybe so if you see
a Tyrod Taylor type performance
right.
from Sam Bradford,
hey, you have a concussion,
half,
you go in,
and it's just like, you know, the crowd's starting to turn.
Okay,
and what happened with Mayfield the other day, and how Cleveland responded in the whole energy thing. Don't think that the folks in Arizona
right.
weren't watching that and
right.
thinking, geez, you know, if we see the same scenario play out here,
right.
and our fans start to turn. We have to do the same thing.
All right. For other deep thoughts by the Magnificent One, here's Mark Schlereth.
Here's Mark Schlereth with his biggest observation for today's game. It's exclamation mark.
All right. There's a couple of things that I look at, obviously, with the Broncos and how they're going to have to go to Baltimore and win this game. First and foremost, you just can't turn the ball over. Case Keenum has got to be brilliant with the football. Don't throw it into coverage. Make sure you recognize what you're doing, and don't be afraid to throw the ball away. This is not about hero ball. This is about protecting the ball and being a great game manager. You have to continue to get Phillip Lindsay involved because he's a big playmaker, and he's a threat not only to run the ball but to catch the ball out of the backfield, so it keeps the defense honest in passing / running situations where you can do both. So it keeps you out of those tough, protected situations for your quarterback. On the flip side of the ball, you know, Vance Joseph talked about it. We've got to be us. You got to be aggressive. You got to play man-free. You got to lock guys up in the line of scrimmage. This is a team that's going to run deep drops. It's going to run the deep play action play passes. And they're going to give you an opportunity to rush their quarterback. And if you get the rush on that quarterback, he will turn the ball over. That's what he does. He's consistently done that. And all you have to go back is to last Thursday night when at the end of the game, the Baltimore Ravens are making a comeback on Cincinnati, they run a deep play pass, and they keep a tight end in to block a defensive end. Mismatch on that. Dunlop gets a hit on the arm, and it results in a pick. It results in an interception by the Cincinnati Bengals defense. Those are the things that you have to do to keep this team on track and come away from Baltimore 3-0. So I believe you can do those things. I believe you can go out there and win. And I, for one, am looking forward to seeing them get their cleats on the grass.
All right. Is Mark picking the Broncos to win?
Yes.
He is, huh?
Close. Very close.
All right, we'll get to our picks, I suppose, a little bit later. But I could see on the fan staff on Pick'em, it's kind of a mixed bag with how everybody thinks they're going to do. You know, my defense with this game, and I don't mean to necessarily make excuses, but I'm not going to think less of the Broncos, Mike, if they lose today. This game does not set up good whatsoever. And the rain conditions are miserable. Look outside your window right now. Here in Colorado, it's unbelievable. That is not the case in Baltimore. It's absolutely miserable right there, right now. And it looks like it's pretty socked in. This just has the makings of kind of disaster. You know, you're playing a team.
Disaster? Why use that word? I mean, there's a difference between a good, competitive, close loss and a disaster. Why do you think it's
a disaster? Yeah, I see it as a disaster.
You're getting away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why? We're playing a real team. We're playing a team.
Baltimore's
actually
a real team?
Yeah, Baltimore's a real team. Baltimore's a playoff-worthy team. The Seahawks, boy, the Seahawks, dig a bit deeper into that. Did you read the Sports Illustrated article about them this week? If you didn't, I don't blame you, but they are, I mean, we thought they were bad. It's way worse inside because of Pete Carroll and the way he treats Russell Wilson compared to everybody else. I mean, it is just a... It is the pit of misery in Seattle, like you can't believe. You know, inside they call it the franchise, not the franchise. The you win all the time sort of thing.
Dynasty,
right? Sorry,
I saw the NFL,
the dynasty that never was.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
That's what they are right now. I don't know if they win four games all year in Seattle. The Raiders, Mike. I mean, what do you think the Raiders are winning this year? Where do you put them at? Five?
Yeah, they're five.
Six?
Six, yeah.
Right. So, what do you think the Ravens are?
I think the Ravens are in that 8-8, 9-7 territory.
Similar
to the Broncos, I think.
Okay. Listen, man, I tell you this. If the Broncos can win today on the road, if they can figure this out, Mike, then they have everything it takes to make the playoffs. I'll give you that. But I don't think you have to win today to define whether or not you're playoff worthy.
And that, with that, I agree. I had this when we play the game, when the schedule comes out, wins, losses,
yeah.
I thought this would be a loss. But I do think it's important how they play if they're going to lose. If they get blown out, that's a bad sign. Because Baltimore's not a team that I think should be blowing you out unless you're the Buffalo Bills. And if they go out there and they play a hard-fought game and they lose by four... You know, I think that's something that you can take as a positive. But to your point, if we feel that this was a disaster, then I think that's a bad sign. Because
I will say,
the first two weeks, I didn't care about style points. I just cared about 2-0. Because in order for this season to matter moving forward, they had to be 2-0. So now how you play starts to look a little bit more important.
Well, maybe they get helped out with the rain, by the way. I mean, the Broncos have done a great job running the ball. The offensive line has been very effective in that department. And perhaps that's the way you go. Although, really, what you need to do, Mike, of course, is feed Demaryius Thomas early and often to build up his confidence.
That's right. Man, that was a head-scratcher.
All right.
Our guy that's making $12 million a year, we got to get him in the flow of the game so he's ready to go.
What's your stat that's going to blow me away?
All right, so you say that there's nothing to this this 11 a.m.
I say it's overblown.
Well, here's a great stat
for you. Give me some numbers.
So throughout the history of the NFL, the home team wins 57% of the time.
Period.
Okay?
Okay.
However, visiting teams that are forced to travel more than two time zones.
All right.
In those situations, the home team wins 63% of the time.
Wow. Numbers only a nerd's mom could love right there.
Wow.
But it's numbers.
It's
Okay, fine.
I mean, when you're talking about the history of the NFL and all those games, I think a 6% jump is pretty significant.
I agree with you. I think it's another reason why this battle is so difficult. Last year, the Broncos, who were 1-7 on the road anyways, were 0-4 with this 11 a.m. start time. It's kind of a quirky place to play. I don't think the crowd's going to be much of a factor at all because the rain is miserable and will probably keep people
away. And by the way, real quick, if this 11 a.m. thing wasn't a thing, why is it that there are so many different theories as to when you should go out?
Isn't that hysterical?
Okay.
I don't know.
The guys on our station even are like, you know, Stoke was big about saying, why are you going out on Saturday? You've got to have these guys feel what it's like to wake up that morning in Baltimore at the hour that you're going to play at. And that's why you want to go out on Friday, because you want to wake up on Saturday morning knowing, like, okay, this is what it's going to feel like. We're going to be ready to go play a game instead of just do it all today.
I think that they changed it because it just fell apart last year. You know, I think they're going off what happened last year, and it didn't work out for them. I don't think it's a financial situation, but they do save themselves some money. Anyway, speaking of guys' opinions, two guys that we value incredibly highly is Cecil Lammy and Mike Pritchard, so let's hear their wisdom.
It's Pritchard and Cecil's What to Watch For, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Thanks, guys. I'll be watching out today for John Brown. And this is a Joe Flacco take, but really it's John Brown. It's that deep passing attack, and it's his speed. Something that if they match him up against Bradley Roby, Roby struggles to turn his hips. Roby struggles when the play goes by him and a receiver can get on top of him and get by the defense. So that's going to be a big concern to me is Joe Flacco in the deep passing game and John Brown. Pritch, is that the right person and problem to highlight?
Well, he is a problem. He could be a problem. I mean, off coverage will give Brown that free release at the line of scrimmage and give him a chance to get into that speed. And then if you max protect that, like Oakland, we saw Oakland do that against the Broncos pass rush. That could be a problem. You can't handle it that way. I think you got to get in the face of these receivers. You got to cloud up those throwing lanes because Joe Flacco, he's not very confident that way. He cannot thread the needle. And also, his feet are not sound in the pocket. So I expect the Broncos to be able to get Joe Flacco off his game.
Pritchard and Cecil's What to Watch For is presented by Golden Oak Lending. Whether you're buying or refinancing, Golden Oak Lending can help. Call today, 720-500-GOLD.
Okay, well, here we go. We'll find out the inactives in just a second. We're having reports of rain left and right, cats and dogs. Troy Rank will join us from on-site. Coming up here next, it's the Fan Football Pregame Show, live from Sports Column in the heart of Lodo, where the sun always shines, and the Rockies!
Still alive!
Just when you think it's over, the Rockies keep hope alive with a huge 7-game set homestand to finish out the regular season. Coming up in a couple days, if they can just polish one more off against Arizona.
You got to sweep them. Can they
get to 8?
You
got to
sweep.
8 out of 10?
Winning the series isn't enough. You got to sweep.
All right. For the best action, no matter where you are in Lodo, it's right here at Sports Column and Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Now let's get the scoop from Denver 7 Broncos insider Troy Rank.
Troy Rank is brought to you by Granny Law. And we go to where the weather is. We're enjoying your videos and pictures, Troy, on Twitter because we're not there and you're in the middle of it. It's beautiful here, by the way, Troy, but why don't you give us a weather update? Do your best, Mike Nelson.
Yeah, it's a little rainier than expected. I mean, it started raining. I walked over at, 8:30 this morning from the hotel to the stadium. And I mean, it's a little more than a drizzle, but it's going to be different conditions than they've seen for, months, and it's still coming down. It's not pouring or anything. I don't expect the field conditions particularly to be an issue, but it could help the Broncos, D-Mac, because they're able to run the ball. That's the key here. And Flacco, the Ravens are more of a passing team the way they're set up. So in a weird way, it could help Denver. We'll see, but it's definitely going to be wet. There's no question about that.
Troy, you're reporting that it appears Pac-Man Jones will not play today?
Correct. He did a workout with Lauren Landau before the game. He's clearly made progress, but I know they're with him, they're trying to think big picture, because if they push him back and he strains his hamstring or strains his quads and he's out 2 to 3 weeks, you know, how does that benefit them? So my expectation of today is he will not be active. That would make Isaac Yiadom active, put him in dime coverage, and that's going to be a challenge. You know, the second he's on the field, Flacco's going to go after him. And then at punt return, that puts Lindsey up and or Deshaun Hamilton. I think that'll depend on the workload. I mean, if Lindsey's getting a bunch of carries, they may have to take him off punt return so he's not compromised that way.
Yeah, I remember when Jamie Moyer couldn't make some starts for the Rockies. It really set him back, you know, massively. So, you know, losing Adam Jones is brutal. I've been rough on Adam Jones because I just don't think there's a place for injured 35-year-old cornerbacks in the league, Troy. And I compare him to Jamie Moyer because the sad fact of the matter was Jamie Moyer deserved to make the Rockies that one particular year because they had done such a poor job in getting themselves ready. I see this as kind of a similar situation. You know, like, you shouldn't be in a position where you depend on a cornerback like that, and you should rely on the guys that you picked and you developed, theoretically. So I don't know if it's a bad thing. I think it's something that you have to move on to eventually anyways.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's just you would like to move on to it at a more natural pace. Yeah, Adam just showed he wasn't ready. I mean, the reason they went out and got Adam Jones is because Adam wasn't ready to be on the field in coverage yet. D-Mac, that was the issue. And you figure you go get Jones on the cheap, can he give you X number of games, 4, 5, 6, until Adam is ready? And that's the key here is with Adam, maybe he microwaves his development today. He played as much as anybody in the preseason in terms of plays. Actual plays on the field, but the difference in the regular season, as soon as he's on the field, I can guarantee you Flacco's going to go after him. And I don't know that that's the case with Adam Jones. I get what you're saying, but Flacco knows Adam Jones. He played against him a million times when he's with Cincinnati. I don't know that Flacco would be looking to go after Adam Jones in the same way he will Isaac Adam.
Troy Rank, live from the field in Baltimore. Troy, Vance Joseph's not so subtle criticism of Joe Woods this week. Is Joe Woods on any kind of a hot seat right now when it comes to his job?
I wouldn't say that. No, they're 2-0. I mean, that would be kind of silly at 2-0. But the reality is Vance Joseph's more in charge. And I think he's understood after nearly losing his job last year that he's got to grow into the job. He's got to coach his coaches better. He's got to hold people accountable more. And he's doing all that. Now, will it pay off in the end? I don't know. But he's definitely more demonstrative. He's definitely more comfortable in his own skin as a head coach. And I think he understands now in year two, he can say stuff, you know, in public a little bit like, hey, I didn't like what I was seeing. Because the reality is this. If you're Vance, why would you defer to anybody at this point? You tried doing that last year and it nearly lost you your job. So I wouldn't say that with Woods. I like the idea. If Vance defensively doesn't see something he likes, get involved. That's what he was before he came here, a defensive coordinator. That's where he spent his entire NFL coaching career on the defensive side of the ball. Why wait till after the game to say, oh, we should have done that? If he sees something he doesn't like, I mean, a lot of head coaches do that, frankly. So I like that. Now, whether it makes it pays dividends over the course of the season, I don't know that yet, Mike. But no, not hot seat. I just think it's a reflection of the new reality of Vance Joseph taking on the role of head coach rather than being what I thought last year was an assistant coach acting like a head coach.
I'm reading the inactives for the Broncos. Kevin Hogan, Alexander Johnson, Adam Jones, Sam Jones, DeMonte Thomas, DeMarcus Walker, and Elijah Wilkinson. So that means Brandon Marshall's okay to go, I guess. I know that was kind of an up-in-the-air situation, Troy. How will that situation work itself out?
Well, I expected Brandon to play. I talked to him on Friday, and he said that it was just kind of his normal soreness he's dealt with in his knee, and that he's got to just kind of pace himself during the season and not push it too hard so he's ready on game day. The thing to watch there, though, is they clearly like what they're seeing from Josie Jewell. So how many snaps is Jewell going to get? He got 13 last week. Is he going to get 20 this week, 25? I mean, it's not hard to connect the dots that if Jewell plays well, this is Marshall's last season in Denver. And so keep an eye on that. But for right now, on the road, you need Marshall. I mean, you just start taking veterans out of the lineup. What happens is you just miss some of the communication in real time. So I expected Marshall to be active, but keep an eye on how much he plays because Josie Jewell played a good bit in the fourth quarter against the Raiders.
DeMarcus Walker, second-round pick, continues to be inactive every week. Why is that?
Well, he's in a position where they have veterans. That's number one. But it's been disappointing. There's no way around it. I thought he would be picked to click the year they drafted him, and that didn't happen. And then, well, that was more, you know, reflection of them trying to make him an outside linebacker, which they admitted was a mistake. He's bigger. He's back to 272, 275. I mean, the reality is he's just not better than anyone in front of him right now. I mean, the guy that's really squeezed him out is Shelby Hurts, who came out of nowhere last year and has become a contributor and a veteran and a high-energy guy. And, you know, the players kind of rally around when he makes the most of his snaps. That's the guy that's really cost him time, because Gotsis has improved, clearly. But the guy you didn't see taking snaps away from your second-round pick was Shelby Hurts. And as long as he's contributing, DeMarcus Ware is going to have a hard time getting on the field. Or, excuse me, DeMarcus Walker is going to have a hard time getting on the field.
Who will be catching the punts for the Broncos today?
Again, I think it'll be Lindsey initially, but Deshaun Hamilton's in the mix. I mean, what I was saying with Mike, like if the first two drives, Lindsey carries the ball six, seven times, are you really going to expose him to a punt return as well? Like I think that's one you're going to have to play by ear and see, okay, how much is he carrying the football in the running game? And because, I mean, the Ravens aren't silly. If their top running backs on punt return, they're going to be going for him, trying to get him out of the game. So I think initially it's probably Lindsey, but don't be surprised if Deshaun Hamilton gets plenty of work there.
And by the way, they could have, if they wanted to, they could have brought up Isaiah McKenzie from the practice squad this week, and they chose not to do that.
Yeah, why would you do that, though? I mean, come on.
Oh, I wouldn't. I don't know why McKenzie's on the practice squad. I mean, you know.
Last time I saw Isaiah McKenzie in Washington, D.C., he was running out of bounds. He was forgetting to run out of bounds. It cost them points. I don't want to see that right now. Like, I hope the kid continues to improve. He hasn't earned the right to be in this game for me. That would be silly.
Well, I know what I would do in this particular situation. I'd put Emmanuel Sanders back there because he's the guy with your best hands. He's going to make the best. My praise of Pac-Man Jones, and it's somewhat limited, but my praise of him is that when it comes to punt catching and making punt returning decisions, he's perfect on the year. You know, every decision he's made in that department has been perfect because he's not taking unnecessary risks. The thing that killed the Broncos was playing dumb. I think the Broncos have actually played, you know, relatively smart this year, and I think it's kept them in games that they lose the turnover battle, Troy.
Yeah, they've been much better on special teams. When you have a grown-up coaching special teams and Tom McMahon, it's working. Guys have bought in. They're better athletically, younger. But you're right. I mean, again, the special teams, at the very worst, DMAC has to be even. It cannot be a drain on your team. And last year, I mean, it was such a minus. Every week, I mean, it was silly. So we'll see where it ends up today. But you're right. In especially rainy weather here,
right,
Slick football, the last thing you need is a turn the field around with a fumbled punt.
And if you put Sanders back there, nobody is looking out after his own well-being more than Emmanuel Sanders about Emmanuel Sanders. Trust me, Emmanuel Sanders will make the right decisions.
The problem with that is he's your best receiver, and it's not close right now. I mean, that's what I just don't want to expose him to hits. I mean, if he's going to go back there and fair catch like Wes Welker did, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't want him getting hit on punt return because he's your best receiver. And it's
well, I would take taking fair catches today in crappy weather or just let the ball go. Either way, I would just, hey, wave your hand in the air like you just don't care. Catch the ball, and here we go. And now we're going to pound the ball. If the Broncos have a mistake on special teams and the bad weather, we have nobody to blame but ourselves on that sort of stupidity. And I just think it's something to watch out for today. Okay, Troy, give us your prediction. What is it going to be today?
I have them losing a close game, 23-20, that they're in it. I got to see them win on the road before I pick them to win on the road. I mean, last year, remember, they lost by an average of 13 points a game on the road. They were non-competitive in 6 of 8 road games. So just prove it to me. I mean, I think they have a really good chance. But until I see them play well on the road, I'm not picking them to win on the road.
Troy, we'll watch you on Denver 7. We appreciate your reports. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later, Troy.
Got it, guys.
Okay, Troy Rank live from Baltimore. All right, well, let's think about that for a little bit. But when we come back, we'll go through the numbers with the professor. Sandy Clough joins us next.
Now let's hear from the great Sandy Clough with Sandy's stats of the game.
Fellas, in terms of the schedule, this is extremely reminiscent of last year. Remember when the Broncos opened 2-0 with two home wins against the Chargers and Dallas? And then in week 3 went to Buffalo, a team that wasn't considered to be very good but turned out to be a playoff team. Buffalo knocked off the Broncos, and it was the first sign that maybe the Broncos weren't quite what they seem to be coming out of the first 2 weeks. Same scenario in a place today where they have rarely played well. Their only regular season win in Baltimore came back in 2012 during the month of December, 34-17, part of an 11-game season-closing Bronco winning streak. We won't remind you of what happened a little less than a month later here in Denver when the two teams came together once again. But that is the only time that the Broncos have ever won in Baltimore, going back to the Ravens' first year, 1996. You remember the playoff game, 21-3 on December 31st, New Year's Eve 2000 at what was then PSI Net Stadium. That was the Shannon Sharp game where Sharp picked up a loose ball and ran it to the end zone to set the tone. Gus Frerotte started for Denver, couldn't get anything going. In 02, the Broncos lost at Ravens Stadium, 34-23. In 2003, it was M&T Bank Stadium, as it is today, 26-6 for the Raiders that time. Josh McDaniels was 6-0 in 2009. The Broncos went into Baltimore after a bye and got smashed 30-7, sending the Broncos reeling. They ended up finishing 8-8 that year and missing the playoffs after a 6-0 start. And the following year, in October, the Broncos were beaten badly again, 31-17, by the Ravens in Baltimore. It's a strange thing this week. The Ravens are favored to win this game, but the Broncos, in all of the major polls, rankings, are ranked after 2 weeks in each of them more favorably than the Ravens. ESPN has the Broncos number 15 in the NFL. Baltimore's 19th. The Broncos, according to the Athletic survey, tied for 11th. The Ravens 18th. Sports Illustrated has the Broncos tied for 13th. The Ravens number 20. The Ravens are favored by at least 5 points, by as many as 5.5 points in some circles. But I think this is going to be a closer game in Baltimore than any of the other previous six have been. Five blowouts pretty much for the Ravens, one blowout for the Broncos. Today it's 17-13. I will lean toward the Ravens, though I think the Broncos will rebound much more effectively than they did last year after a road loss in Buffalo to start the season.
So Sandy's picking the Ravens. We'll do our picks just in a little bit. You know, one of the people that took a bit of examination this week was Case Keenum. Mike, who is Case Keenum?
So far, we're not getting the guy that we saw last year, that's for sure. You know, and you got a guy last year who was very efficient, was hardly a turnover machine, only had 7 interceptions all season long.
Mm-hmm. 4 this year already.
And I just think that I love the fact that he's confident. I love the fact that he's secure in his own skin, that he feels like he really has an organization backing him for the first time, perhaps ever. Even last year he didn't have it in Minnesota. But I think that confidence has led him to veer away from the kind of quarterback he was last year that made him so attractive to the Broncos in the first place. And I think he needs to go back to being that kind of guy. I don't need him to be a risk taker. I don't need him to be a guy that's trying to fit the ball 25 yards down the field.
Yeah.
In between this slight small window between the corner and the impending safety.
Let's just say that for Baker Mayfield.
Well, he made that throw. Yes, he did.
He did several times.
I look at the Broncos. One thing I like about this Broncos offense that I haven't liked for the last couple of years is that there's some talent there now.
Yeah.
And I think that this is an offense that all your quarterback needs to do is just get the ball into the hands of the playmakers and let the playmakers go make plays rather than him trying to make these guys better than they really are. And I think he's done a little bit of that too much in the first 2 weeks, and it's been to his and the offense's detriment.
I actually look at this game a bit differently because, you know, I don't even think this is a very important game. I'll go with you. I hate using the term must win, but for the sake of an argument, I'll just go with it and saying that analysis of the first two
games. Would you look back at it now, knowing that they...
Well, I think it was really, 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 really important that they win those games.
Really, 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 but not must.
I like to say critical wins, not must wins. Only because I look at the term must win as a very specific, like, you're out of the playoffs if you don't win this game. I mean, that's a must win. You know, if you lost against the Raiders, which, you know, could have happened, Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's keep it real. You know, if you bounce back and actually won this game, then you mitigate the loss of the Raiders, sort of, division, whatever. But I'll say, for the sake of argument, I'll say must win, just because I like you, for those first two games. This isn't one of them.
No, I agree.
I mean, this isn't even close to one of them. And when you think about, well, what does it really take to get to the playoffs? Well, if you go 4-4 on the road and 6-2 at home, you got a great shot at 10-6 of making the playoffs and making, hey, sure, you'd love to win as many games as you possibly could, but if you do that, you're fine. So I look at this game a little bit differently. Now, I know I'm looking at it differently than the Broncos coaches, because every NFL coach looks at every game as a must-win, do-or-die, that sort of thing. And sadly, sometimes that's how I think they coach it. But if I were advising them or encouraging them, I'd say, Mike, don't worry about your interceptions, Case Keenum. Let's take some chances. Let's do some things that we've been working on or we want to do. Let's put you in a situation where I'm not going to sweat you if you throw some picks. Throw that ball. Use this game as essentially the same as a preseason game. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. The fact of the matter is you just don't get preseason games. You know, you just don't get that type of work. So where do you think the Broncos were really lacking with Case Keenum? First of all, you got to get the ball to Emmanuel Sanders more often, right? All right, and take some shots down the field maybe towards Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, do some things that you weren't normally doing. I don't anticipate that happening, though, because coaches are terrified. And I look at this as a slog it out, you know, run the ball sort of ugly sort of game. And the only reason I have a final score kind of going in the Ravens' way is I think it when you play that tentatively, you tend to make dumb mistakes and mistakes happen. And then, you know, it results in other goofy things happening.
But don't you have to play to the opponent and the environment today as opposed to, let's say, next Monday night? So today,
next Monday night is the season right there, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, and that's why I think this game, I certainly don't put this game in the must-win category. It's one that right. I thought they'd lose the day the schedule came
right.
out.
Right.
But I do think that you do have to get used to, as you go about creating an identity for this offense, is you do have to sort of take the circumstances as they're presented to you. And today, it figures to be a grinded-out type game. It figures to be the kind of game that, look, Baltimore's not going to run away from you, so don't give them a chance to. Don't hand them mistakes, gift-wrap points. Don't do those kind of things. So I'm looking for a more conservative Case Keenum. Now, next Monday night, Kansas City's in town. The way that offense is rolling right now, it'll be a beautiful night probably for football. It'll be a fast track. You know, that's a night where Keenum's going to have to be more
well,
of a playmaker.
Well, I tell you what.
But I don't think today is that kind of day. And you have a chance, I think, to win a game today if your quarterback goes out with the mindset of, I'm going to be efficient. I'm going to be mistake-free. I'm going to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's an insult. Especially when next Monday we'll be getting ready to talk about the game and saying, hey, I'm going to need Case to be dynamic. I'm going to need Case to be a playmaker.
The X's and O's of the game will come back with Orlando Franklin as the Fan pregame show from Sports Column rolls on. Right here, you can register to win $200 to Uber. Free shuttle to Mile High starts 2 hours prior to every home game. So great place to come and just have an awesome time. And then get yourself, you know, without getting yourself to the game. And Sports Column is great for all sorts of sports, including the Iowa Hawkeyes, the Denver Broncos, the Rockies, who come back here later this week with a huge homestand to
tomorrow night
make their way into the playoffs. They got to sweep the Diamondbacks today,
hey,
right?
You beat Greinke. You beat Corbin. You
right.
beat their two best guys.
Right.
So, and one of them was with Sensatella on the mound. So you got a great start from Sensatella. You got to sweep them.
Okay.
Arizona's mailed it in. Got to sweep them.
All right. I'm excited. I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there with the Rockies.
Everyone wanted to bury him after the Dodgers. I said, whoa. There's still baseball to be played here. Relax.
I do believe it's got to be 8-2, though, in the final 10. But they're off to a great start.
2-0 already, yeah.
So now you only have to go 6-2. All right, we'll take a quick break. Back for more live at Sports Column on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.